some of you like to actually have the Bible in front of you as to the verse or verses that we're going to cover. And today the verses that we're going to cover are all in one spot. John chapter 11. If you want to, go ahead and find that. And if not, just follow along, and then you can always look that up later. And remember, you can always listen later. If you or somebody else misses the message, obviously Facebook Live, we can it allows us to save it, and you can view it later, watch it again later. And we also have the website now called PastorBobLines.com, and there's audio recordings as well as some other things. Let me ask you a question. Who could use a little provision? Who could use a lot of provision? I'll raise my hand for both of those. But here's the thing. If you raise your hand to saying you need a little or need a lot of provision, chances are you've got a problem. Chances are I've got a problem. What I want you to know is that the problem precedes the provision. The problem precedes the provision. Most of us could do without any problems in life. I know I could. It isn't going to happen. But without a problem, there would be no need for God to demonstrate his ability to provide. So what you and I need to do is start viewing our problems, even our future problems, as a means for the Lord to personally provide what we need. So again, problems precede provision. That's one of the themes throughout today's message. Now, pretend I have a glass of water. I'm going to lift up, I've got a cup of water here, and pretend it's just nice and ice cold, refreshing, come out of an artesian well that is sweet and delicious. Would you like a cup of water? Would you like a drink of that? And you might say, well, not really. Well, what about if I save that nice, refreshing, chilled glass of water for later, when you have your meal? Maybe you'd be thirsty then. Maybe not. What if I save the glass of water and you go out and take a long walk? And not so much today, it looks kind of cloudy outside, but a hot, sunny, humid day, maybe like what Ronnie and Glenna might be having down in Florida. And what if I then said, after your walk was over, how would you like a cold glass of water? Maybe you would. It seems like not until you have the problem of thirst do you even think about or want the provision of water. Let me tell you a story, quick story, about a time where I had a thirst that was unlike any thirst I've ever had before or since. And it happened a few times back in high school. In the summertime, we would have football practices that would be preseason. They would be two times a day, and it would be the hottest, most humid part of the year, it seemed like. And as we would continue to practice, the thirst would build up. We would get even what most would call cotton mouth. Your tongue would just stick to the roof of your mouth. You couldn't even generate enough saliva to get some moisture in your mouth. And the longer we practiced, the drier we would get, the more the thirst would build. And then all of a sudden, Coach Willard would say, water break, water break. He didn't have to ask if we wanted to go. Everyone rushed us, no matter how tired we were, we rushed as quickly as we could to the pump where we could get as much water as we'd want. And many of the guys would take and cup their hands and bring that water right up to their mouth, and however much water they could get and whatever would spill, they'd get a little bit in their mouth. But I can remember that myself and some of the other guys, we would be so thirsty and could care less how cleansing this was or how perfect it was as far as a drinking vessel. But we would take our helmets off and put the helmet underneath that flowing water, fill it up as it would fill up as quick as it could, And then we would take that helmet and just dump as much water as our mouth could hold and our throats could drink. It didn't matter that there was hair and sweat and dirt mixed in, obviously, with that water. We were that thirsty. The problem of thirst was that big that the provision was wanted especially bad. Well, today I'm continuing the five-part series that's going to take us into a greater depth of what the Bible has to say about God's provision. You remember I categorized the provisions, the characteristics, the qualities of God's provisions in five words, and they all start with the letter P. The first one was God's provisions are perfect, and that's what we covered last week. God's provisions are personalized, and that's what's for today. The next weeks will be God's provisions are positive, God's provisions are profitable, and God's provisions are perpetual. And remember, I even had a tongue-twisting sentence that includes all five of those letters or words that start with P. God is the perfect provider whose personalized provisions are positively profitable perpetually. Today's message, God is our provider, and his provisions are personalized. They're customized, they're tailored. It's not one size fits all. The when I order jeans or buy jeans, I have my choice between inseam of 34 inches or 32 inches. You know what? 33 inches would probably be perfect, but I don't get that choice. Well, with God, he will customize, and if it needs to be 33.125 inches, that's what he's going to provide. Well, now we're going to get to that Bible verse, and there's going to be quite a reading today, but it's, of all the stories I could have picked out of the Bible, trying to give an example of God's personalized provisions, this is the one I chose, and I think it's a pretty good one. It shows how also the problems precede the provision. So let's look at John chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 44. Speaking of thirst. A man Nazareth was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Martha and Mary. This is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. And just a second here. When these ladies write to Jesus or send the message to Jesus, they mentioned that he was very sick. And in the original language that the New Testament was written in, the word would actually mean sick or sickness as unto death. So this sickness was not just a cold or the flu. It wasn't just a light case of pneumonia. This was the type of sickness where if it was happening today, he would be in the ICU. He would be on a respirator, maybe even likely a ventilator. The family would be called in and to say their final goodbyes because this may not turn out well. That's how sick he was. The other thing I wanted to point out is when they say that the message was, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Keep that in mind as we think about our relationship with God. Are we just, is he somebody we know of? Is he someone we know about? Or is he a friend? That relationship is important. I hope you all make that decision to ask Jesus to be your friend. Starting back with verse 4, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, and catch this, it happened, the sickness, it happened for the glory of God so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. The glory hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. The provision hasn't happened yet, but it's coming, and it's coming for the purpose of God's glory. So it's coming at the perfect time, and the sisters believe that their brother is so sick now that the time needs to be now for the provision. And that's how you and I feel. The provision that we needed it yesterday. And we're wondering, where is God in all this? You know, last week's message, the first P in all these provisions of God is perfect. God's provision is perfect. His timing is perfect. His what he provides is perfect. And it's not going to be too much or too little. These all these provisions, they overlap with each other. So, verse 5, so although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. You see, the provision was delayed. The request was made by Martha and Mary. Just like us, the prayer request is made. And yet God says, I'll be there in a couple days, and it'll be all right. Of course, they didn't know that. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus replied, well, there are 12 hours of daylight in every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, just like he has to tell us sometimes plainly, Lazarus is dead. So the problem of Lazarus being sick now just got worse. How about with our life? We pray to Jesus. We send him a message. We say, here's the problem. We need a provision. And Jesus says, I'll be there in a couple days. And now, as we're waiting for that provision from the Lord, the problem went from bad to worse. That's what happened here. In verse 15, after he tells him that Lazarus is dead, he says, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Well, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus, because they all thought this was going to be a problem just heading back to where they had been stoned before, where the stoning attempt had happened. But when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. And you know, when somebody's dead, you just assume they're dead. But it seems interesting that in the gospel here, it's clear that God wanted us to know that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. You see, their culture believed, apparently, from what I understand, that somebody could come back to life if they'd been dead only 3 days. I've even read stories, maybe you have too, of somebody who's died and they're put in a body bag and to be taken to the morgue, and they get to the morgue and all of a sudden there's kicking in the body bag. The person came back to life, even after medical science had determined that they were dead. Well, the culture believed that in 3 days, there was a possibility that you could come back to life, but not after that. And so it's real clear that we know that Lazarus was dead, 4 days dead. In fact, now the provision, obviously for healing from sickness, that's out the window. The provision for maybe Jesus could come and be part of this bringing back to life in 3 days, that's gone. Now the provision is impossible. And maybe we get to that point too. The things that we're wanting, that we've been praying to God for, not only seem like it's a closed door, but there's not even a door to open. Verse 18, Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha. But when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went down to meet him. Mary stayed at the house. Martha said to Jesus, now listen to this, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And does that sound familiar? Lord, if you'd have just done this or that, we start to blame God. It's your fault that this problem now is even worse. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So on one hand, it's like the provision is impossible now, but yet Martha shows great faith in God's potential provision. Too many P's. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises, at the last day. Talking about the resurrection that Jesus had talked about during his ministry. So provision maybe is possible another way than we hope for. He's not going to come back to life, but he'll be in heaven one day in that resurrection. And yet Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I've always believed that you were the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned, Martha, returned to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet and said, here we go again. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha blamed Jesus for not getting there. Mary now blames Jesus. The blame continues. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? They asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, hey, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Oh my. Now the whole crowd is blaming Jesus. So when Jesus gets to the situation, Martha blames him for not coming. Mary blames him for not coming. And now all the family and friends that were there to support are blaming God too. Any of this sound familiar? It does to me. Well, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. She said this, Lord, he's been dead, and now she says it specifically, 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I remember their culture thought, 3 days, maybe you could come back to life. But not 4. In fact, by 4 days, the body is starting to decay. And that decay is producing that terrible smell. In fact, now we're told again, the assumption is it's way too late for the needed provision. And again, we get there. Maybe some of you are there even right now. Well, here's how it finishes up, the last few verses. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And guess what? he came out. It says, that, and the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. The impossible provision just became possible. And you know, it was personal. When Jesus said, move that stone, and then he yelled out, he didn't just say, come out, or dead person, come out. If he had done that, there would have been a whole graveyard full of people walking in their grave clothes. But he said, Lazarus. It was personal. It was his friend. And it was the perfect timing as well. That provision was for Lazarus only. He customized it. He tailored it. He made it just for him. Well, as we finish up, here's the questions I have for you, and I've tried to interject them throughout this reading of the scripture. Are you in a difficult trial right now? Well, one thing's obvious. Our whole country's, the whole world is in a difficult trial right now, a trial that we've never been in like this, at least in our lifetimes. That pandemic that happened, the Spanish flu back in the early 1900s, probably not too many of those folks are online right now, or even alive. Have you got problems? Remember, problems precede the provision. So if you've got a problem, if you have a friendship with Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, you can give him a message and say, I need your help. It may take him a couple days to get there. He may come immediately and answer. It may be a couple days, couple weeks, couple months. I don't know exactly when. But he'll have a purpose in his delay. And it'll be for his glory. Do you have a need where it seems like all hope of God bringing life to the situation is impossible? The thing you've prayed to God for, it's a done deal. It can't be undone now. So how can God even answer your prayer? How can he provide a provision? Well, he's God. That'll work. Maybe it's a sickness or disease, something like Lazarus had, or something like the whole world is dealing with this virus. But maybe the provision that you need is a relationship. It's a friend that the relationship has been broken, and it seems like there's no way to unbreak it. It's a relationship with your spouse. It's a relationship with your children, your parents. God can provide there. Maybe it's a job. And I know that several of you that are watching now, your hours have been cut back. Maybe you've been furloughed. Maybe you can't go back to work because the business isn't open at all. Well, how's God going to provide? And I wish I could tell you the answer. I don't know. I only know that he can and will provide, and it'll be glory to him as he does. And maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe because of all the things, the sickness, the relationships, the job, and things have just produced yet more problems. Maybe you don't just have one of these problems, you have them all, and they're just building one on another. Well, I think God can help us all with provision for our problems. And if you feel like he's delaying your provision, well, just remember this story of Lazarus. Just when it seemed like it was impossible for what we desired in the beginning to occur, it became possible. All things are possible with God. Remember the story of Lazarus. Your situation could not be any worse than his. And I believe that because I don't think there's anyone on the watching this Facebook Live that's been dead for 4 years. If so, would you please send me an emoji like with your hand waving? So as bad as his situation was, and as bad as ours is, if God can fix him, if God can provide for him, he can provide for us. So I'm going to finish up here just with a few more statements. Trust three things. Trust that God must have a purpose for your trial, your problem. Trust that God must have a purpose for the delay in his provision. And trust that God must have a purpose that will bring glory to himself through it. Remember, problems precede provision. Problems precede provision. And then remember, God's our provider, and his provisions are personalized. One more time on that tongue twister. God is the perfect provider whose personalized provisions are positively profitable perpetually. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you so much that you've allowed us this opportunity to hear your word, to hear your promises, and to hear about your provision. If we have doubt about the provision for us and how you could personally help us, Lord, help us to be honest with you and just admit it. And then give us patience to wait on you as to when you're coming, how you're coming, and the way you'll provide. Lord, be with everyone on this call. Be with friends and family. Be with our nation. Be with our world. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go and be blessed and be a blessing.